The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Comic-Con is essentially my Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. Does anybody else share that enthusiasm? So, dream come true number one right there. Another reason why I'm especially happy to be here today hosting this particular panel is if you are a fan of TV or movies right now, I mean, is there a better time? There is so much content out there, and every single day we're getting more and more. And with the rise of subscription services, streaming subscription services right now, I mean, we just have a wealth of content at our fingertips. And the company that has me pretty hyped is YouTube Originals. So, did anybody else see Cobra Kai? I saw that, and then right after that, I binge-watched all of this great show called Impulse, and quality, entertaining, thrilling, it's got depth. So I am really excited right now to introduce you guys to the creative team behind Impulse. Are you ready to meet them? First up on the stage right now, he is a director that I admire quite a bit. He's done Edge of Tomorrow and The Bourne Identity, and right now he is the executive producer of Impulse. We have Doug Lyman joining us. We also have two guys that you might be familiar with from the show Suits. We have Gene Klein and David. And now, she has worked on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Impulse is so fortunate to have showrunner Lauren LaFranc here. And now it's time to meet the stars of the show. First, our leading lady, Henrietta, or rather, Henry Coles. From watching season one of Impulse, you do not mess with Deputy Anna Holche. It's a new good one. A huge thank you guys for being here today. Before we jump into the one too many questions I think I have here about season one, we've got a video for you, we've got a highlight reel, but I'm going to warn you ahead of time, pay attention to the end of the video. I think it's going to make you guys happy.
I know what it feels like to be the new girl in town.
You're not even trying, Henry.
Why should I?
Henry, you're gonna make me late for school again!
This particular town doesn't do the newcomers well.
Clay!
Can I talk to you?
Come on.
No, wait, I said no! Like the world starts to pull away. Like I've lost time.
Oh, God. He's called. Somebody call the nurse.
And then my hearing goes out.
Henry, have you wake up? Please wake up!
I haven't always been this way.
My pen
hands began to move when your seizure started. So did other objects in the room.
I just get seizures sometimes. There's nothing special about me.
You still need to determine whether you're a superhero or a supervillain.
Bye, Towns.
It could go either way.
The blue neighbor saw a young woman, about 5'5", vandalize their window.
I'm 5'6", so why didn't you tell me you were in that car accident with Clay Boone? Who told you that?
I don't know how to fix this.
Just need to be able to not see him.
What you did to me! I'm gonna tell everyone what you are!
No one is going to believe you.
Henrietta Coles.
You.
I know a lot about you. Probably more than you know yourself.
A wormhole is a black hole, like in space.
But one you can travel through.
Since when did you become such a huge nerd, Jenna? It's like you're leading a double life.
Jenna Faith Hope. It's been a minute. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, Jenna.
Hi.
I was wondering if you're going to be around after the game. Figure maybe we could hang out?
He's not like the other guys on the team.
I know. Just be careful.
You sure you want to do this?
Yeah. I had sex tonight. It was my first time.
Was that okay to you?
Yeah.
Did you feel good?
Uh-huh. But maybe just not the right person. I don't know. What if I die before I get to do anything I really want?
Well, what do you want?
I can't remember the last time that I wasn't thinking about what I should do or say to make someone else happy.
Who you are and who you want to be or whatever, there are no rules.
They put away the beer, Randy. This is a crime scene.
There goes the hidden run?
Well, maybe. Prescription painkiller called fentanyl.
Did you try to save him?
You'll get tired before I run out of gas, honey.
I took it upon myself to check Henry Cole's cell phone records.
You're a real modern-day Angela Lansbury. I said that the case was closed, and I meant it.
I'm sorry that you and Henry never got a chance to talk. I called the office, but the sheriff said that Clay's case was closed. I can keep your mom safe.
Follow me.
No, you can't.
Hey, we're all over right now!
If you know about Bill, then why don't you arrest him?
It's not that simple. I need evidence.
I'm not leaving here until you show me your trick.
Just make it happen. Okay, Mom.
You have 5 seconds to show me.
I can't.
Four. Three.
Okay.
Show me!
I don't know how!
Questions.
picking up season two.
They really do. Backstage, just now, we learned about season two of Impulse. A huge, huge congratulations to you all. I have many questions about what is to come, but first, let's take it all the way back to the beginning, Doug, because I'm really curious to know more about the journey from Jumper to Impulse, especially because I remember covering that news when it first came out, and the headline was a Jumper TV series in the work, and this feels different in the best way possible, like nothing I was imagining.
That's the biggest compliment, because of all my films, Jumper's the one that I felt like I just never quite made something that really connected with me emotionally. It just didn't get there, and I wanted to go back, and I thought TV would be a better canvas for me to do it, but I didn't want to repeat myself. I didn't want to make basically the mistakes I had made before, and so the best compliment I could have been getting on Impulse is it's not what I was expecting, because it's still me, right? That's the problem, is like, you know, like, just because I sit down on a learn from what I consider my mistakes and do better, it's still me, so I might actually just make the same mistakes again.
And now, Gene and Dave, I was curious if you could give a little insight into working with YouTube in particular, because you guys have had experience in this industry. So going into a show like this, what exactly were you expecting? Did you have any kind of anticipation level with distributing a show via a platform like YouTube?
You know, it turned out it was.
Where to start?
Yeah, where to start? We've had an amazing experience. It's been incredible. They've been creatively supportive of us, and we were able to kind of tell the stories that we want to tell, and we got all the resources to shoot the show the way we want to shoot it, which was pretty amazing. You don't always get that, but you know, I think we may have been one of the first scripted shows they ordered, so it felt like they were kind of figuring it out. And we were figuring it out with them. So it was an incredible learning experience at the same time for both of us.
And they were wonderful, but at the same time, selling it to YouTube in the first place was a surprise to the two of us. Doug had a meeting with YouTube about what he thought was something totally different and accidentally sold the show in the process.
Because we didn't even know they had a channel.
Yeah. And he called up and he said, you know, Dave and I were working on finding a writer, which we hadn't even done yet. And Doug called and said, I think I sold the show. And we said, what show? But they were, and which speaks to how great YouTube has been. They were enthusiastic from, you know, the first moment Doug talked about.
YouTube Originals has been around for a little while now, but between this and, as I mentioned earlier, Cobra Kai, it feels like a game-changing year. And, you know, part of the reason that I'm drawn to shows like that is that there's also an added depth to it. So, Lauren, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the idea of pairing something with a superhero-like vibe, something cool and fun, like being able to teleport, with something a little more serious, like a character dealing with sexual assault.
Yeah, I've worked on a number of genre shows before and some superhero shows, and I think for me to want to take on a show like this, I wanted it to be so grounded and have the characters feel really honest, and I thought what Doug did in the pilot was so excellent and set me up for that kind of success to be able to do. We have amazing talent, which made it all the easier. But it felt like, for me, genre storytelling is so amazing because it's heightened, but it's always been telling kinds of stories that before TV's become what it has, it's been harder to tell stories like that, and stories that are often of minorities, people who are going through kind of traumatic events, kind of the little guy out there, the little girl out there. And so for me, I saw, you know, an opportunity to tell a story largely about sexual assault and in this woman's coming of age journey, coupling that with teleportation, which I think is really relevant to what Henry goes through during that assault. Part of it is she dissociates and kind of disconnects emotionally from the event, and then physically as well. And so, and that was, you know, a tribute to what Doug had established with the pilot, and then I just took that and ran with it.
And for the very talented trio down there, I've spoken to a number of actors who have said to me, oh, I take a little bit of the role home with me. So, one, did you do that? And two, if you didn't, what quality about your character do you admire most?
I definitely took the role home with me to my husband's dismay. I was very depressed the entire time we shot. But I think with something like Assault, it's so real and it happens to so many people, men and women. It deserves that kind of commitment. And I was ready for that. I spoke to a therapist that meets with mainly victims of assault. I spoke to people in my life who I know have been assaulted, and I really dug into that pain because it deserves that attention. But my favorite part about playing Henry is like the physicality of her. She has this very wide stance, and she walks very heavy in her foot. And when I first auditioned for Henry, I got into this sort of, I don't know, the way that she stands and walks and carries herself is different from the way that I carry myself, and it really helped me to get into her character. For me, I didn't necessarily take it home with me, but I had the task of being the rock for Henry, being the support and the sounding board. Jenna is the first person that Henry tells when this takes place. And what I think is so wonderful about our relationship is that Jenna and Henry as characters are very opposite. But when this event happens, we really get to see their true colors, and their guards have to come down a little bit, but especially Jenna. She's going to be compassionate. She's going to be there for Henry. And they really grow such a tight bond, and they have different qualities they see in each other that they'd like to see more of in themselves. And they learn from each other, and they grow. And that's probably my favorite part. And I would say my favorite part about Jenna is just her unwavering strength and ability to be supportive in this situation and be there for Henry.
And I would say Deputy Anna Holche, she gets into town and knows something is not right. And she's got a strong sense of justice, which I really admired about her, because she's a little bit more proactive than I think I would be. And I appreciated being able to play someone like that. I think, though, similarly, I did grow up in a very small town. We were one of very few black families in the town. So her sense of feeling like an outsider is something I could relate to immediately. And to be able to portray that, it was easy to slip into, for sure.
And there's a very diverse ensemble here, and again, another element I really appreciated about the show is it feels like it's a group of characters where everybody out there, no matter who you are, no matter what you're into in life right now, you could find your favorite. So not including your own characters, open to the entire panel. Do you have a particular impulse character that really sticks out as your favorite?
Towns.
We're all going to say Towns. Absolutely
love
but
Towns.
But everybody loves Towns. People message me on Instagram, they're like, what's going on with Towns? And I'm like, I'm Henry. I don't know. I love him too.
Speaking of Towns, though, I am a huge fan of Orphan Black. Is anybody out there a fan of Orphan Black? I noticed a lot of links, I guess I would say. Is that about the shooting location more than anything? Did someone on that show hook you guys up?
Yeah, I think it has to do with Toronto.
Not a lot of talent in that Maslany family, for sure, yes.
Doug, one thing I wanted to ask you about, too, because I happen to have been reading this in an interview you did with Collider.
I'm scared.
You had mentioned
say a lot of things I probably shouldn't say.
At the very beginning, the central character of Impulse was someone a little different than what we wound up with, so I'm curious to know more about that version of the character and then what made you change your mind.
Initial sort of approach to the show, and I probably would have ended up making the same mistakes I made on Jumper, but was a character who wanted to be in this town and wanted to belong, and the superpower keeps sending her away. And we were starting auditions, and Maddie came in, and the three of us watching her performance, just like this, and afterwards.
And microphones.
I mean, no microphones.
They were mics.
We're literally, it's like a table just like this, and she's there doing her performance, and she leaves the room, and we were all floored, and Dave and Gene were like, it's obviously her. I mean, she's a huge star. And I'm like,
I said that first.
And I said, I totally agree. She lights up the room, but she's totally wrong for the part. And they said, but I said, we have to keep looking. And they said, but she's such a huge star. And I said, I know, but if you think about it, if we cast her, I really would want to rewrite the whole show because I would want the character to be like this, this, and this. And then Dave said, well, wouldn't that be better? And I was like, you know, as I was saying, I was like, actually, that's a way more interesting show. And I was like, yeah, let's cast her and let's rewrite the show around the qualities that Maddie brought into the room.
Good work, guys. Maddie, how are you feeling with the material you auditioned with? Were you getting that kind of vibe yourself, or was this a surprise?
I thought I was totally wrong for the part. Sorry for swearing. Hearing that, I wanted the part so bad that when I heard I got the part, I sobbed for like a full 5 minutes. So if I knew I was wrong for the part in the process, I was already having a panic attack like the whole time waiting to find out. I felt
you had reinvented the part as you came in. Like, that's the thing, is you came in and you gave a performance and you had envisioned a version of Henry that went so far beyond where we were in our thinking of her.
What are you going to do with that compliment?
And then she was wondering why all these...
I love you so much.
All these rewrites are happening. And we're like, rewrites are happening because of you.
I didn't hear what you said.
When all those pages were changing, you were wondering why you were getting pages at the last minute. It was because of you.
In a good way.
Yeah.
We're going to all have a big group hug after this.
Yeah.
Special.
I need to sob so badly. There. Lauren, I wanted to talk a little bit now about the antagonists of the show, because there's a bunch of them, but what makes, you know, I'll say the bad guys, because they do bad things, but the thing that makes them not your typical cookie-cutter villain is they are individuals who do bad things, but they feel like fully fleshed-out people, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, that was very important to me. I mean, I don't see the world with, you know, heroes and villains. I don't see it the way Towns does in a lot of ways. And I think that's, for all of us, we're all complicated people, and we do things that are bad, and we do things that are good, and somewhere in between is where a lot of us lie. I think, you know, Bill Boone, for instance, is a guy, and when I was talking to David about this with his character, that he thinks he's doing everything good, he thinks he's being a great father, and he has a temper that is like right here and doesn't explode. I think scarier people are the ones that are always on the cusp of exploding rather than the ones that are really aggressive about it. I think with Clay, he's a young man who assaults a young woman, and for some reason he thinks he can do that. And I think there's something interesting in exploring that to hopefully, without, you know, beating people over the head, teaching them something about why young men think they can do that sometimes, and where does he come from, and what is his family like, and what is he lacking, and what is he searching for. And then with Lucas, played by Craig Arnold, he's someone also that I feel like he's this guy in this very male-dominated environment, and he's trying to figure himself out, and he constantly gets in his own way. And so I think it's important for every single character, especially the villains, to feel complicated and interesting and not one note. Because, you know, I've seen that before, and it just doesn't ever feel real to me.
And Maddie, Saranuka, did you guys have any scenes that you particularly enjoyed shooting, or maybe in the end, ones that you were most proud of? Because, I mean, I've got like a laundry list of standout scenes here.
All of the scenes where Sarah and I get to smoke pot together are my favorite scenes.
'Tis on my list as well.
Yeah. Those were really fun.
Fun fact, I remember the scene, our first scene in episode 2 where we smoked together.
Yeah.
I have never partaken in this in this drug before, and I remember getting the script, and I'd gotten a one-liner beforehand, and so they'll generalize the what the scene's about before you read the scene, and it was Jenna and Henry smoke pot, and my first thought was, please let it be Jenna's first time smoking. Please, I have no idea how to do this. And thankfully it was. And then Maddie had to show me how to use it. And I remember it said that Jenna...
Because it was not my first time. At all.
And then I remember that it said Jenna coughs. And I was so worried that I would have to fake cough. That was not a problem, guys. That was not an issue. But in all seriousness, any scene that I got to do with Maddie was such a gift. She's by far the most giving scene partner I've ever had. And she is, guys. And I love her. I'm excited we get to keep doing it.
I don't like her.
Oh, gosh.
It's very one-sided.
It hurts.
It's a little one-sided.
It's awkward for us all to watch.
We're still holding hands, but she doesn't like me.
I'm rubbing your arm. Isn't that weird for you, or...?
Oddly not.
I feel comfortable. Anuka?
Yeah, okay. Take this away.
I'm gonna save you, girls. No, I had a scene in episode 4 where my character has a panic attack. And what was fun about it is this has never happened to me before. They put a contraption on my body where the camera was mounted to it. And I got to basically direct myself and go off and lose my mind. And it was just really fun. It was odd and awkward, and I was nervous about it. But once I had the thing, it was just like, it was fantastic. It was fun.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They strapped one to me in the pilot, but it was like the back of my head, so I didn't get to do. They didn't trust me to direct myself.
Which I love that shot, by the way.
You were directing yourself.
God,
that was that on you, Maddie, and we sent you off.
I'm going to take this chance to remind you guys, we are going to save 20 minutes to answer all of your questions. So if you have any, it might be a good time to not run, but walk to the microphone and line up for those questions. So get on that. And now I want to talk a little bit about Comic-Con in general right now. Are there any first-timers here on the panel?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a feeling.
Thanks for the welcome, guys.
Have you seen anything so far that stood out to you? And if you're just getting here now, what is on your to-do list? Because as much as we want to be here to celebrate Impulse, you have to experience San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, we want to see all the costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a little overstimulated
so far.
And I'm very prone to anxiety in large crowds, but I'm still excited.
Did anyone give you any Comic-Con tips before getting here today? Especially before hitting your first Comic-Con panel.
They just said be ready.
What?
I was looking at Laura.
Maddie keeps, sometimes she just stares at me endlessly, and then I don't know what to do, and then I stare back, and then she's like, don't look at me. I admire her so much. It's distracting.
Talking about Comic-Con costumes.
Yeah, I don't know. What?
Maddie accomplished her to-do list earlier. She's saying that as we were walking in this morning that she just wanted one person to come up to her and say how much she liked the show.
Oh, my God. I was so happy. I hugged her.
No, I sort of regret that that Henry doesn't sort of wear a cape as part of her superhero costume.
Season 2.
You know, she just has like a little splash of paint in her hair, so it's not going to make for the greatest Comic-Con costume.
We should talk about capes and how ineffective they generally are. Like, always tangle. It doesn't make any sense.
Henry has a red hat. That's her costume.
Yeah, yeah. The tip.
The cape issue is a
thing.
Yeah, very
valid. The beanie.
Before I turn it over to the audience now, we obviously have this season 2 announcement. There's a lot of people that are very excited. You guys just found out, but are you able to offer any sort of timeline or, you know, just to give us a little bit of a gauge on when we can expect to see more? Because I would like more now.
Sometime next year.
I think it's going to be great, guys. You know, it's so early. We're all really excited, I think, to get back to work. I'm so honored to be able to keep writing for these ladies and our whole cast. And, you know, the journey continues. It's very big. I apologize. I know that's so lame.
Sometime next summer.
All right, are we ready for some questions out there? Who's by the mic? I see someone over there.
Oh, lights. How are you most like your character? Who's that for?
All of us?
Yeah. I wish I knew where... Oh, there you are. Because we have TVs down here under the thing. That's why I was looking here. I was a lot like Henry when I was a teenager. I sort of didn't really want to let anyone in or let anyone get to know me. So getting into the mindset of Henry was easy for me in that way.
I think for me, a way that I'm actually very similar to Jenna in a lot of ways, and a big thing...
Pot smoking.
Yes, yeah. Pot smoking being one of them. Yeah. But a big theme for Jenna is self-discovery, and she has a tendency to really put other people's needs before her own, which is something that I definitely have as well. And through season one, she goes through this journey of self-discovery and really taking the time to figure out what she wants and who she is. And funnily enough, that's really something that I was doing exactly while we were shooting this season. So it kind of just all aligned.
Yeah, and I think similar to what I was saying earlier, just being somebody who grew up in a very small town, one of a very few black families, and feeling that sense of being outside, but soldiering on in spite of it, and just, you know, keeping on, and that's something that I completely relate to.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Can we talk a little bit about Henry's abilities? Because, I know you guys just found out about season two now, but how do you gauge how far of a step ahead to take with her abilities? She's first finding herself now, but, you know, do you have some sort of multi-season show Bible that you're following?
Just from a starting place that we wanted the superpower to be more of a curse. Which is why I keep sending her back to her bedroom for so much of the first season. And, I don't see abandoning that. I see that sort of puts us in a kind of a unique space. And obviously, with the amazing sensitivity that Lauren's brought to this, you know, it's forever tied to the sexual assault, and that's something that is not something that sort of just gets resolved and then we move on. It's there's always going to be sort of a trauma for Henry connected to her ability. It's just going to be part of what makes her who she is. She has other traumas, you know, with her family life has issues with her father. So, you know, we're all made up of the traumas that, you know, it's not one particular trauma that fully defines us, but that's kind of where we see the superpower sort of resting.
Interesting. We've got another audience question.
Hi.
I just want to let you guys know first that I love the show. I watched it all in one day.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
So good.
I was a fan of Jumper, the original one, so when I saw that you were recreating it, it's really amazing. So I'm a little nervous. So my question is, one of the characters that I really liked was Lucas and how he was kind of teetering on being good and bad. Are we going to explore that more in season two? Is he going to do something that can redeem himself? Because I feel like Clay and his dad can't at this point, but Lucas still has a chance.
Yeah,
that's the answer to the question earlier. Lucas is my favorite.
Oh. Yeah, Lucas is one of my favorite characters as well.
I definitely think he's one of the most complicated characters we got to write, and we had a wealth of those. But, I think Lucas is someone that is interesting to explore because he has good intentions, but he doesn't know what to do with them, and he constantly, as I said before, kind of gets in his own way. And so, you know, we see him with the Mennonites at the end, and so I'm excited to explore what that means for him, why he's there, how he got there, and what is going to happen now that he is there with them.
Thank you for the question.
Hello. Hi. My question is for Duke. What can we expect of your next project?
I'm probably be here next summer, we'll be, you know, showing season two here, season two, and also Chaos Walking, which I'm doing with Tom Holland and Daisy Ridley. So I imagine I'd be here with that as well.
Definitely looking forward to that one. We also, we don't have Missy on the panel today, and I don't know, maybe it's just because my mind is often going to the movie Dodgeball, but for whatever reason, I just like didn't expect this kind of work from her, and she really blew me away, and that's such a touching, deep, emotional connection that you have with her, Maddie. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about working with Missy, because she deserves to be highlighted here.
We love Missy.
Yeah.
The incredible thing about, you know, Missy's experience the first season of the show was that she was a new mom. And she was going through a lot of the emotions of being a new mom and wrestling with being mom on screen. So she really completely tapped into that and went from being what everybody assumes a comedic actress to being this incredible dramatic actress.
Well, and Maddie can speak to working with her in particular as a mother and daughter, but I will say that there's so many times that these really incredible actors and actresses are pigeonholed, where they do comedy, they do one thing, so everyone's like, well, let's just keep giving them those roles, and they don't think that they have something else in them. And I think Missy's such a good example of someone who is so wildly talented, and I'm so glad that she got the opportunity and really was so excellent in this dramatic turn for her.
Yeah. Doing scenes with Missy is one of my favorite parts of the show, because we luckily had such an instant, very deep connection. And I love her so much personally, just as myself. And so that made the scenes a lot more richer. But she's just so... I don't know that I've ever been with an actress who just... Her emotions are just always right here at the top of her throat. She can be laughing in between takes and they'll call action, and she can just bawl at the drop of a hat. And nothing is fake. Everything is real. Her emotions are just always there. And it's really beautiful to watch. She's so talented.
So talented.
She's also really funny and amazing to be around.
Yeah, she is.
She changes the energy in a room for sure.
Absolutely.
In the process of doing some press for the show, we found out that she was really nervous about having been pigeonholed and having done so much comedy and coming to drama. And all of us were surprised because she killed it from day one on set. And so it was shocking to hear that she had some insecurities about that.
Is she the one to kind of lighten the vibe on set? Because, it's very weedy material.
You can't stop her.
She'll lighten the vibe anywhere she is.
I bring it down and she brings it up. So it just comes to this medium area. As I'm here and she's...
We've got another question.
Hi, thank y'all so much for being here. The effects and stunts are so incredible. I was curious if there was any bloopers or mishaps that happened along the way.
Bloopers and stunts are bad together. Thank God we didn't have real serious ones.
There was a scene that took a long time to shoot. The bathroom teleportation scene. You remember?
Oh, yes.
I'll never forget.
Neither will I.
We spent a whole very, very, very long morning shooting that one scene. But it turned out okay, I think.
Yeah, I think we did.
We did a lot of practical elements mixed with visual effects, which a lot of shows don't always do the practical, which is, I think, what made things like the truck being crushed and the bathroom exploding feel really grounded and real. But that stuff takes time. And then there's also, like, Maddie's stunt double had to hoist herself a lot above the bed, above camera, and hold herself to drop onto the bed or, like,
I
drop
did that too.
Desk. I know, Maddie did that too.
Don't but let me out.
Maddie didn't, you didn't hit the desk with your face.
That's true.
And
yes, I did.
A little factoid about the teleportation and the sort of violence of it compared to, say, Jumper is that... I originally, you know, I made Jumper for Fox, and I originally had approached Fox about saying, I feel like I could do better. Let's do it as a TV series. And they said, no. And I'm like, really? Like, we have a pretty good track record in television. Like, yeah, no. And so I went and got the rights to the sequel novel myself. And then we sold it to YouTube, and we're like, can we really just do this? Can we get away with it? I mean, here we are on stage. So I guess we have. Dave's sort of cringing, because he's like, don't talk about it, but it is the elephant in the room. We just went and did it. I was like, at some point, someone's going to say, you can't just go do that. But we did, but there were lawyers involved who said, here's what you can't do. And one of the things they said is, you can't make the jumps look like they looked in Jumper.
And you can't call
Fox.
And you can't call them jumps.
Yeah.
And you can't call them jumps. You can't. Okay. So you have to make them look different, which is tough because it's still me, right? I'm like, maybe I'm just going to come up with the same idea again. So I really was like, we need to really radically rethink how we're going to do it. And I thought, like, wouldn't it be cool if it was really violent? Like, because when you do anything for the first time, it's not elegant, right? It takes practice. And so. And from that sort of violent thing, we ended up getting the storyline of Clay getting crushed in the pickup truck. So it was a kind of a gift that's kept giving. But that's the origin of how the jump, the teleports, came to look so violent.
Thank you, Fox.
Next question.
Hi. I'm a software engineer by day and an aspiring indie game developer by night, and I've got a pretty good idea of how hard one can be on oneself when you're creative, and so I really wanted to kind of articulate that. I wouldn't really call what you did with Jumper something that really contained mistakes. I mean, I'm a fan. I saw this thing. I bought the movie. It was a good film. So, you know, you've made a choice at one point. Now maybe you figured out how to crystallize and distill this thing into something more powerful, but yeah, I wouldn't feel bad about anything you did before. Here's my question. Teleportation, and based on something you just said, I think the violent aspect of teleportation is really worth exploring. And have you considered going further in that direction? Because if you go into kind of the hard science, something like this, it would take an incredible amount of energy to physically move somebody just out of thin air from one place to another. And have you considered how dangerous that could become and how you might work that sort of thing into your stories later?
Yeah, I mean, we consulted with the Science and Entertainment Exchange, which, if you guys don't know about it, is this really great organization, and they you ask them what you need, you tell them what you need, and then they pair you with scientists and physicists, and we spoke to a lot of astrophysicists in particular about, you know, what the potential is for teleportation and how it could, you know, could work hypothetically. And there is a violence to it and an inertia, and we use that. And we, you know, we have a lot of rules that we set for how we shoot things in particular and how we shoot those teleportations, and thinking of it as, you know, implosions and things sucking towards her and what that means. And then, you know, Henry ends up with wanting her body to bring someone out of an event, and then she ends up wanting to resist someone and doesn't really even realize what she does, and that person gets split in half through the wormhole. So we've just begun to explore that, and I can safely say we'll continue to go down that rabbit hole and see what else is there.
And thank you for what you said about Jumper. You know, I know I can be hard on myself, as you've said you're hard on yourself when you're creating your games, and it's a... you know, I made a film called Swingers, and the first time I saw the first edit, I cried, and then I, years later, we're doing like an anniversary release, and I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great? I'm going to go find that first edit and just sort of be inspiring to filmmakers to see like how bad a first edit can be, and then, you know, what you can do in the editing room. And I found that first edit, and I looked at it, and I was like, it's not that bad. It's actually not all that different than the final one. I don't know why. And then even on Impulse, there was something within season one that I felt like, before we put it out, I was like, I really want to go back and reshoot that. And Lauren was pregnant, and I said, like, I know you're going to give birth soon, but, like, if you went and rewrote this, you know, I would go beg for the money, and I'll go shoot it.
Like, and he put me into labor. And I, it is not a joke. Literally, I was like starting to breathe a little harder on the phone with him. And I was like, what's happening? And then we hung up. I was like, okay, I'm going to think about that, Doug. And I was like, I think I'm going to have a baby, actually. So I had a baby instead.
And I never got to go back and do that, but now we'll have season two.
We have
one more question.
I'm looking forward to this last question. I saw you two powwowing over there. You got like a really firm head nod. So pressure's on. What's the question?
So actually, it's a great show. I was introduced to this actually because Perry mentioned it on a podcast I was listening to. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Perry.
So my question is to the producers. The amazing thing about this show is the periphery of the cast. Every one of the actors does such a wonderful job of making their character believable and part of the story, and it seems like every episode another character is kind of stealing the show. How did you kind of put the cast together for the show?
Well, I mean, I'll just start and then let these guys take it that, you know, our goal, you know, like when I did The Bourne Identity, I was going to do it with my first action movie. I said, I want to do an action movie where if you took the action sequences out and you just watched the dialogue scenes, it would actually be a compelling story. Because a lot of action movies might just be sort of like rudimentary dialogue just to get to the next action sequence. And so when we were putting Impulse together, we said to ourselves, I want to create a world that even if somebody never teleports, you would tune into the next episode, that the characters and the world are compelling enough before you add the teleportation. And that was kind of the challenge that Dave and Gene and I gave to each other.
And the real credit for the cast, though, goes to our casting directors. We have a team of casting directors in L.A., Lisa and Sarah, and we have a casting director in Toronto, Robin, who does an amazing job. And we all like the idea of Tina. Robin's the other show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tina. But we also like to be open to sort of untraditional and unexpected choices in casting.
Yeah, we've worked with Doug for a long time, and he likes... Typically, the way the process goes is that we look at a wider set of choices and bring a narrower set of choices to Doug. And he likes to be surprised. We look for surprises. I mean, I think probably one of the big ones in the cast is Thomas, his father, who's married to Missy Pyle.
Luckiest man in the world.
Luckiest guy in the world. But when you meet him and spend time with him, you know why she's with him.
Yeah, and for me too, in terms of getting to write for these guys, because I came on after the pilot, so I got to watch it as a viewer, and I was really inspired by people's performances, and I was like, I want to get to know everybody better, so I'm going to try to write them along with our writing staff, and hopefully maybe make you think that Lucas, who starts out like a terrible guy who puts a woman in a trunk of his car, which is crazy, suddenly you're feeling a lot for him by the end, and it's a little confusing, and to try to really just make everybody a fully fleshed person, and the good news is that was the first 10 episodes, and now we get a second season to do it again, so and hopefully you'll get to know everybody even more, and yeah, we'll go from there.
All right, sadly, that is all the time we have here today, but thankfully we have season 2 of Impulse to look forward to, so please join me in giving a big round of applause to the creative team
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.